Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, we're all about getting to the heart of those really important legal cases, especially for all of you in the LexPlug community who are really focused on your studies and careers.
Absolutely. We aim for efficiency.
Exactly. Today, we're going deep on Backus v. Baptist Medical Center, a 1981 case.
A big one.
Yeah, it really gets into how anti-discrimination laws, Title VII specifically, handle patient privacy in healthcare. You know, when can an employer consider gender when hiring?
Yeah, it's a tricky question, right? Especially when you factor in those expectations of privacy, especially in a medical setting.
Right, and Backus really shines a light on that very specific situation.
It does.
So we've got all our materials here. We've got the podcast guidance, the case briefs, the perplexity analysis. Everything's in our pasted text, as always.
Yep, all the angles.
Exactly. So we're going to break this down, get to those core legal principles, figure out the court's reasoning, and understand why this case, even though it's from 1981, still matters today.
Still so relevant.
So let's start with the basics. What was the situation that led Gregory Backus to file this lawsuit?
So Backus was a registered nurse, male nurse, and he was already working in the OBGYN department at Baptist Medical Center.
Okay, so he's familiar with that kind of environment.
Right, exactly. But he wanted to transfer to the labor and delivery unit, and they said no. The hospital had this policy that kept male nurses out of labor and delivery.
Why, though?
They cited patient privacy concerns, specifically those of women giving birth. They argued that women should have privacy during childbirth.
I see. So it wasn't that he wasn't qualified or couldn't handle the work. It was specifically about being male in that one unit.
Exactly. It was really targeted.
So how did he challenge that?
He sued under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, you know, the one from 1964. He claimed that refusing his transfer was sex discrimination, plain and simple.
Okay, that's the core of it. But there
Yep.
was also something about retaliation, right?
Yes, he also claimed retaliation because after he filed a complaint with the EEOC, he felt like he was treated unfairly at work. He said he got a bad performance review and they wouldn't promote him, even though he felt he deserved it.
Interesting. So we've got the discrimination claim and then this added layer of retaliation.
Yeah.
But the hospital didn't just roll over, right? They had a legal defense.
Oh, absolutely. They invoked the BFOQ defense.
Okay, the bona fide occupational qualification, right?
Right. And it's really important to understand this. It's an exception in Title VII that allows discrimination based on religion, sex, or national origin, but only if it's absolutely necessary for the business to operate normally.
And it sounds like proving that is a pretty steep hill to climb.
Very much so. The
Yeah.
burden of proof is entirely on the employer.
So how did the court decide if the hospital met that standard? What did they look at?
They used a two-part test. First, they considered the factual basis of the claim. You know, did women giving birth actually object to having male nurses care for them during labor and delivery?
So not just a theoretical concern.
No, not at all. The hospital brought in testimony from both patients and staff to back up their claim, and the court seemed to accept that there are real concerns at play.
Okay, so that's one part. What was the second?
The second part looked at feasibility. Could the hospital have reasonably accommodated a male nurse in that unit without compromising patient privacy? Could they have moved him around, reassigned tasks, that kind of thing?
Right, were there other options?
Well, the hospital argued that it wasn't feasible. They said accommodating him would mean having both male and female nurses available all the time.
Oh, I see. A whole separate staffing system.
Exactly. And they claim that would disrupt patient care, you know, having different nurses coming in and out. Plus, they said it would cost a lot more to staff the unit that way.
Makes sense. So the court's trying to balance preventing discrimination with respecting those very real privacy concerns, but also taking into account the practical side of running a hospital.
A lot of factors.
And this case is really interesting because of how the court treated male nurses differently from male doctors. Can you explain that?
Right, that's a crucial point. The court said that patients usually get to choose their doctor, you know, their OBGYN, so if a woman wanted a female doctor, she could usually find one. But with nurses, it's not the same. You don't get to pick who your nurses are when you're in the hospital.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Changes the power dynamic, doesn't it?
It does. They actually quoted this in the opinion saying, "The male nurse's situation is not analogous to the male doctor who has been selected by the patient." So, because patients can't really choose their nurses, the court said the hospital had a bigger responsibility to protect patient privacy in this case, and that helped justify their BFOQ defense.
Really interesting. So let's move on to the retaliation claim. Backus said he was treated poorly after filing that EEOC complaint. What happened there?
Well, for a retaliation claim to win, he had to prove that the EEOC complaint directly caused the negative treatment, like the bad performance review and the denied promotion. The hospital fought back, saying those actions were for totally different reasons.
Like what?
They said he had personality clashes with other nurses, and that's why he got the bad review and didn't get the promotion.
I see. So not retaliation, just normal workplace stuff.
Exactly. And the court agreed. They didn't see enough evidence to prove that the hospital was lying, that they were just using those reasons as an excuse to punish him for the complaint.
So the retaliation claim didn't hold up. Now, there's also this whole issue of mootness when the case went to appeal. Why did the appellate court dismiss parts of it?
Yes. This is about the idea of a live controversy. By the time the case got to the appeals court, Backus had already quit his job at the hospital.
Oh, okay. So he's not working there anymore.
Right. And he wasn't asking for money or his job back either. So the court said his requests for the hospital to change their policy were moot. He wasn't going to be affected by the policy anymore.
That makes sense. It's like, why rule on something that doesn't matter to the person who brought the case in the first place?
Precisely.
Yeah.
The courts want to resolve real disputes, not give opinions on things that are no longer relevant.
So let's zoom out a bit. Why is this case, even though it's from 1981, still important for law students and legal professionals today? What are the big takeaways?
Backus is important for a few reasons. First, it set a precedent, although a very specific one, for when privacy concerns can outweigh those anti-discrimination rules in Title VII.
But it's not a free pass, right?
No, not at all. The employer has to jump through a lot of hoops. They have to prove that customers really object, in this case, women wanting privacy during childbirth, and they have to show there's no other way to handle it. It's not like they can just discriminate based on what customers prefer.
Right, the context really matters.
Absolutely. And this gets into the idea of the essence of the business.
Go on.
So in this case, the court said the business was about providing care during childbirth in a way that respects patients' dignity and makes them feel safe and comfortable. And they argued that having only female nurses in that unit was essential to that goal. This precedent might apply in other cases where you have that same kind of intimate care and privacy concerns, like maybe prisons or spas, but those would be looked at very carefully on a case-by-case basis.
So for our listeners who are studying to be lawyers, what are the key lessons here?
A few things. First, the BFOQ exception for sex is extremely narrow. Backus is unusual, not the rule. It shows that courts really don't like gender-based hiring, and only in very specific cases where you have these really personal privacy concerns and absolutely no other options will this defense work. You really have to understand the facts of Backus and the court's logic to see why it was an exception and how strong those anti-discrimination rules usually are.
Okay, that's a good one. What else?
The second lesson is for anyone thinking about filing a discrimination lawsuit. Backus shows how important it is to make sure there's still a real dispute throughout the whole case, especially if you're appealing. If your situation changes, like you quit your job and you're not actually going to be affected by the outcome anymore, the court might just dismiss your case, even if your legal arguments are good.
So keep your eye on the ball. Make sure the case still matters to you personally.
Right.
All right, so let's sum up the legal reasoning here. Title VII basically says no to sex-based employment practices, except in very limited situations where sex is a bona fide occupational qualification, meaning it's absolutely necessary for the business to function. And in Backus, the court found that patient privacy and dignity during those super personal medical procedures, specifically labor and delivery, met that very high standard.
Exactly.
And with the retaliation claim.
The court said Backus didn't prove that the hospital's reasons for treating him poorly, those conflicts with other nurses, were just an excuse to punish him for the EEOC complaint. They believed the hospital's explanation.
Okay, that's a really clear breakdown of Backus v. Baptist Medical Center.
Yeah.
It's a complicated case, but it shows us how courts balance those big anti-discrimination ideas with other important rights and the practical realities of how businesses operate.
Definitely.
So for everyone listening, the big takeaway is that Backus shows us that even really strong privacy rights can sometimes justify gender-based hiring under Title VII, but only in very specific situations where the job is about providing intimate personal care and there are no other options.
Yeah.
And it has to be really well documented.
Right. And it makes you think, as societal norms change and we learn more about gender identity, how will courts interpret and apply this BFOQ defense in the future? Especially in healthcare and other fields like that. It's something to watch as you move forward in your legal studies and careers.
That's a great point to ponder. Thanks for being on the show. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure.
And thanks to all of you for listening. Until next time. keep diving deep.